Recording in progress.
Oh, good. A few months ago, at a covenant group, one of the questions was, did you know that you're a holy gift? What do you need to open your heart to who you are? There are always hard questions at covenant group, but this one touched a nerve. Opening my heart to the fact I'm a holy gift would mean I have to open my heart to being human, that I have inherent worth and dignity. Then, after accepting my humanity, I would have to accept the fact that, like all humans, I will die. Thinking about death is scary. So, no, thank you. I do not want to figure out how to open my heart to who I am, because just the thought leads to a whole lot of big, scary, anxious feelings. But here we go anyway. Intellectually, the first question, did you know that you're a holy gift, wasn't the tough question. Growing up, I believed we were all holy because God made humans in their image. So we all have a piece of God, of the holy in us. Which I think is why the first principle, that every person has inherent worth and dignity, resonated with me so strongly the first time I read it. Because yes, of course, everyone has inherent worth and dignity because everyone is holy. Thank you, Unitarian Universalists, for saying what I have thought so clearly. But it's one thing to intellectually get something and another to feel it, to believe it. That's why the second question, how do you open your heart to who you are, really struck a nerve. Because it asked me to move away from intellectually understanding to emotionally understanding, to feel my feelings. Whenever I sit with the feelings that come up with this question, I quickly turn to my to-do list or other things. I hide from the feelings. The problem with feeling holy is we live in a culture that treats time like a resource. Like any resource, we act like the resource is infinite and we focus on optimizing its use. We spend hours researching what the best vacation is. We try to optimize our morning routines. We tweak the order of our well-researched optimal exercises and how to make the best tea. We tell ourselves we must check off one more item on our to-do list before we can earn the right to enjoy dinner with a friend. Oliver Berkman, in his book, 4,000 Weeks, Time Management for Mortals, calls this existential overwhelm. By focusing on all the possibilities available to us and how to optimize our time so that we can do as many of them as possible, it's easy to ignore and numb ourselves to the reality that we can't. It's easy to hide from our feelings. Your time is finite. No matter how efficiently you spend your morning, you will not be able to do or see everything in the world. Your checklist will always be unfinished. Berkman echoes others in saying, once you have understood and embraced that you are going to miss out on almost every experience the world has to offer, you can focus on fully enjoying the tiny slices of experiences you actually have time for. One of those other people Berkman refers to is Heidegger, a philosopher who wrote Being in Time. In this book, Heidegger described a concept called being towards death. Heidegger argues that to live a truly authentic human life, we must face the fact that our lives are finite. We must live our life knowing that time is limited, that life is not a dress rehearsal. Every choice requires sacrifices. In other words, the idea of being towards death means recognizing and accepting the finitude of your life in order to live a more authentic human life. That by making one choice, you reject the whole universe of other choices. You reject whole other lives you could have lived. You chose to listen to me this morning, but that means you chose not to eat brunch at Ogden's down the street. You chose not to read a book. It's by consciously confronting the limitations of your life because you will die that you are able to be human and live in the present, to feel holy. Only when we accept our finite time can we focus on the things that are important and make us feel human. And by feel human, we can open space for feeling holy. And since March 2020, we have been acutely aware of how precious and limited our time really is. We've gone through a great pause, we've made sourdough bread, we bought houseplants, we played Wordle. Now we're ready to get back to our old lives, to get back to normal. But did your old normal make you feel holy? There was an opinion piece I read called How COVID Stole Our Time and How We Can Get It Back. And the first thing that grabbed my attention was a picture that had 4,680 tiny boxes. The y-axis was age, ending at 90, and the x-axis was week of the year. 4,680 tiny boxes. 4,680 weeks in a human life, in a picture. depressing, right? The author calls this depressing math. The second thing that grabbed my attention was another picture showing all the possible life paths open to you from your life today, from now. And the author calls this good news, because getting back to our old normal can easily just let us continue two delusions, that we have countless time ahead of us and that we can't change our current path. As we move towards a post-COVID world, we can go a step further than our old normal. We can focus on spending the rest of our future time on those things that are important to us. To focus on those things we might want talked about at our eulogy. At my great aunt's funeral a few years ago, during her eulogy, the priest asked how many people had received a birthday or thank you card from Dolores. Everyone's hand raised, and as we all looked around the church, I could feel a change in the room as we all recognized one of the small things that made my aunt unique, that made her a holy gift. As we hit reset and adjust to the new normal, one way to practice the idea of being towards death is to think about what big or small thing you want everyone to raise their hand out at your eulogy. Maybe it's that you send cards like my aunt. Maybe it's that your monthly game nights are the place to be. Maybe it's that your garden is the most beautiful in town. Whatever it is, focus on doing more of that now. It may feel like COVID stole our time, but COVID doesn't decide which of the many paths open to us that we can take going forward. Focus on taking another step, on doing the next best thing that you can now. There's a story of Warren Buffett, who told someone to make a list of the top 25 things they want out of life and to arrange them in order, from most important to the least. The top five, Buffett said, should be those around which they should organize their time. The other 20 should be avoided because they are the most likely to prevent you from doing those things that are most important to you. While this exercise may be extreme, I think it's a good way to practice being towards death and to think about what you want people to raise their hand about during your eulogy. Focus your limited time now on those things that are most important to you. Focus on whatever weird little thing that makes you who you are, the unique thing that makes you you, that makes you a holy gift. We started this conversation, with a question from Covenant Group. Did you know that you're a holy gift? What do you need to open your heart to who you are? And I've talked a lot about death and a little about eulogies, which may have some of you wondering about your board president. I don't have the answer to what you may need to open your heart to the fact that you are a holy gift. I do know that for me, my heart is open to crack when I think about how my time here is limited, that it's impossible for me to do, be, or control all the possible paths available. When I can, for a few moments at least, stop thinking of time as something I need to optimize and instead be amazed that there is being. To be amazed, as Richard Feynman said in a poem called Ode to Wonder, out of the cradle onto the dry land, here it is standing, atoms with consciousness, matter with curiosity, I, a universe of atoms, an atom in the universe. To be grateful for being at all. Or, as Oliver Sacks once said, to appreciate that, above all, I have been a sentient being, a thinking animal on this beautiful planet, and that in itself has been an enormous privilege and adventure.